Well, here we were all set, Kevin Barker. We were all set to have Julian Merriweather come on. No, we are, of course, looking forward to that. Is that important?
No.
Message? Is it another Instagram follower? You know that you get 10 bucks every time a new Instagram follower joins, eh?
News to me.
What are you up to now? You're over 700, aren't you?
Enough.
Anyhow, Julian Merriweather.
It's all because of you.
No, it's not. Julian Merriweather will not be joining us today because, and this is from our producer, Travis McKenzie, who I presume got it from the Blue Jays.
Mm-hmm.
Julian Merriweather will be the opener tonight for the third game of the series against the Yankees. So Chase Anderson was originally listed as a starter, and it now appears, pardon me, as if Julian Merriweather will get the ball. We'll get the ball to start tonight as the Jays avert a sweep from the New York Yankees. Mm-hmm. Now, I can't imagine. It was on this very show about a week ago that someone suggested that the Yankees had given up. And whoever that is should be ashamed of themselves. Not as ashamed as Derek Fisher, but should nonetheless be ashamed of themselves. What?
Let it go, Jeff.
The Jays, by the way, lost 13-2 yesterday.
Yeah. Seven homers they gave up.
I'm not saying anybody's lying, but I'm saying I need video proof that Derek Fisher got hit in the knee. I need video proof.
Mm.
You know, there are people that are suggesting that someone paid Matt Shoemaker to hit him on the knee.
A lot of conversation about the
name Jeff. The name Jeff Gilhooly came up. You know the guy that kneecapped Nancy Kerrigan? He kneecapped. Yeah, you know what? With the bar.
So be nice.
I'm just telling you. This was on Twitter. Somebody suggested
that
he was
Gilhooly. It's on Twitter. Yeah, it must be true.
Well, you learn now that you're a social media maven. You'll learn all about this. 590-590 is a text line, folks. We got no guest. So you basically got 60 minutes of BS, or you can weigh in and add to it.
No, your side may be that, but I could offer a little.
Well,
I'm a problem solver. That's what I am, Jeff.
I know you are. You are. You Mr. Fix-It.
I'm not going to roll over easy. If I'm a Jay, I'm a playoff team. I'm going to act like it. I'm going to do something about it. I'm not going to throw balls right down the middle. Two sinkers last night, four four-seamers, one changeup, Jeff, all right down the middle.
So you were not impressed with Tanner Roark?
I didn't hear anybody yelling and screaming about leaving him in the third time through. He was five batters into the third time through, I think.
Mm.
91 pitches. He had 64 pitches through three innings. Why I say that is Gerrit Cole had 38. Through three. That's the difference. Now, I'm not comparing the two, but I'm saying there is starters out there that can be efficient, attack the strike zone, and not walk anybody. There are guys out there. Now, again, Gerrit Cole's top end, but the throwing it down the middle, if I'm Petey, I can't handle that anymore. Like, this is, listen, you go out there and get your head beat in all you want. But you stop throwing balls down the middle. Every single one of the home runs they gave up, we're right down the middle.
Well, whose fault is that?
The pitcher. He throws it. Who are you going to blame it on? Charlie? No. It's the person throwing the baseball. They're too far in now to, you know, Tanner doesn't have a sinker. He doesn't have a four-seamer. You don't have to throw it down the middle. That's the one thing. You know, you can go on Zoom and say all you want, and don't throw it down the middle. You're facing the Yankees.
And they look pretty good.
Well, they're the Yankees now. And it looks like with Voit, they don't even need Stanton. But Stanton who? They don't even need him. I mean, he's a plus. He's added great.
He'd be a good bat off the bench.
He's added great. No, you don't, because he has a big swing. He strikes out a lot, and good pitching can dominate him. No, you have to play him because he's got a lot of parts, and he's a monster human. So you got to play him. So, you know, I jokingly say that. But, I mean, Voit might finish top five in the MVP race. He's the reason why the Yankees are still in this
thing. He is.
He's second in the American League in RBIs, he's first in homers.
No, there's no
doubt about that. He's got 19 homers.
Yeah, yeah.
And he ain't played 60 games yet, Jeff.
Yeah. No, he's very much in the picture for MVP.
He'll hit 25 homers.
Which if you'd said that at the start of the year.
He'll hit 25 homers.
Start of the year. Which Yankees hitter would be your
pick? He's got the Jays starters five more games. He'll hit three or four off that. And then Buffalo ball flies. That's look, they good. Like they, you know, you got Garrett Cole now all of a sudden. He dominated. Now he made that look easy.
Mm-hmm.
Like I know he's real good, but he walked through the Jays lineup like they weren't even standing up there. And that's you know, that's the I said problem solver. How do you get Randall Gritchick starting to hit more homers? Do you move him up in the order? I don't know if that's the answer or not. Listen, he's hitting, I wrote it down. He hit.
You're on fire today.
Yeah, he hit two. He's hit 250 with six homers and 21 RBIs hitting in the two spot. If you want to move him up, he has confidence doing it, walk up and ask him, how do I get you to not keep hitting home runs? Because August 28th was your last one.
Mm-hmm.
We need you to hit a three-run homer. And moving you in the two spot help, we'll do it. Travis Shaw, since being a Blue Jay, runners in scoring position, hitting .179. That's not his weight. He's got five ribbies in September. Stop hitting him third. That ain't working. Hey, look, this problem solved, right? You can't roll it.
Well, Teoscar Hernandez. Now, Teoscar Hernandez is coming off.
He was still hitting third. He's your cleanup hitter. So who's hitting second? Who's hitting third? Would you want to move Bichette down? You go ask him. We need our best hitters up front. We need Randall Gritchick to start running in some baseballs again.
Hmm.
How do we get that? If he says, yes, Charlie, I'm more comfortable hitting in this spot for whatever reason. Maybe it's just because I work up a lather running from center field to get my batting gloves on and I can walk right to the plate. Maybe that's it. You know, it's Justin Smoke used to complain all the time hitting early up because he was always in a hurry running from his position. It's to each his own kind of thing. Maybe that will help. You know, it's this getting your tail whipped this bad. Like it's there's one thing of getting beat, and then there's getting beat like you got beat the last 2 days. And now you start doing things about it. Like you start, who's my five best hitters? I'm running them one through five. Who's my best defense? That's who's playing. It like today, Julian Merriweather, they're doing that for a reason because you want to know why? 12 innings in the show, he has not allowed a homer. That's why. It's, you know, you start doing things to help your team, you know, down the stretch. You got to get him in a groove here. You got to get him some more confidence. Randall doesn't look like he's got any confidence. Travis Shaw doesn't look like he's had any since he's been a Jay. You got to play him. Don't really have a third baseman. So you want to try and put him in a position, maybe take some pressure off of him, put him down the order. Maybe he's your seven-hole hitter. You know, he's got to be in the lineup. To me, give him a little length. Maybe he'll get a hanging breaking ball with second and third and run into one. These are the kind of things. Can they beat the top-end teams? Probably not because of the starting pitching they have. But you can give them a run.
Well, I will say this, that it's going to be hard for this team to not make the playoffs right now.
Yeah.
And but
Seattle lost again last night. Yeah, Baltimore, can they catch him?
But what I'm saying is, tough, right? It sounds very much as if what you're saying, Kevin, is use the next
13 games.
Try to come up with your best batting order.
Yeah.
Try to come up with
Gurriel
the best
Jr.
lineup so that
sudden,
you can carry it through. Maybe you put
Bo Bichette cleanup and put Gurriel Jr. now that he's getting on base most of the time. Maybe Bo's walking up. I like Bo hitting in the two spot in 162-game season.
Too.
But there's 13 games left, and you ain't hitting.
That's a good point, yeah.
So you move him around. Like, you walk up to the guy and go, hey, this is what I'm feeling. This is what I want to do. You're my best hitter. I want you coming up with dudes on base.
He's the one guy on this team that can change the game.
Yeah.
He's the one guy in this team, along with Gurriel, that appears to be able to handle Velo. So
yeah.
Have him in the middle of the order so there are guys on
good
base.
Good pitching. You're going to get good pitching.
And
the Phillies.
Velo.
The Phillies are fighting for a playoff spot. You're going to face the Orioles. Probably those last three games of the season might matter.
Yeah.
So you want to put these guys. You want them feeling some confidence when they go to the
first,
plate.
The first thing you have to do is you have to see where Teoscar is, and if Teoscar's back to the way he was,
but you got to figure that'd be tough. His new approach, the little two-strike thing he does, might help him.
I'm skeptical about anytime a guy comes off an oblique injury that quickly. Like, you know, we thought Ken Giles was going to be back. Ken Giles is back on the IL. He's done for the year,
yeah.
Probably. So I'm just going to hold off until I see Teoscar Hernandez.
The issue with Teoscar, he's
regularly.
Right-handed. Most of the pitchers they face are right-handed. Something spinning going down in a way that takes time to see it out of the hand. I see it right away. I lay off of it. Lefties, if he was left-handed, I'm saying he might hit the ground running.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying he won't because he's had a a really good year, and he's in tune with lower half feet to hands. So he's in tune with all that, knowing if I get it here a certain time, all the other stuff is going to catch up. It's that kind of thing. So he sort of knows that. But why not load him up in front of him? Maybe you get first and second. Maybe somebody throws a fastball right down the middle, and he don't have to be perfect. It's so you thinking ahead on how I can help him along to get it here quicker. It's that kind of thing. So, who knows about these lineups and the way they construct them and what they're thinking, but Travis Shaw in the three spot, I don't have an answer for that.
John in North York wants to know, John, I wish I had these numbers in front of me. John in North York wants to know what Randall has hit since his rest day.
I don't know. I think those are
research into that. Because you know what that means. That gives us another chance to rant them.
No, look, again, I said...
Yeah, I get a rant going.
I said this because I've tried. I've tried to play baseball, and it's very hard. And when you've had lots of success the year before, and then you start having a different mindset, like he's been preaching, right?
Yep.
It's let the ball travel. You hit 31 big ones last year.
Yep.
And you are a right center to the left field line guy. I don't want you guiding the ball to right field to hit 10 points higher. No. That's just me. I'm not saying that's what it is, and I know they've ran in some really good pitching, like the DeGroms and, you know, the guy they faced last night and the guy they're going to face tonight and the Garcia, you know. Those are really good, but they've gotten some good pitches to hit. Like, they're coming after this team with heaters, and they're not picking with it. They're not, you know, Garrett Cole threw spotted up heaters last night, but not every single one of them. Like, they're coming. Here it is. You're getting it. So it's, you know, I help him a little. You know, again, I don't even know if this would work, but you walk up and ask him, is it going to help to put you in the two spot? You like it? You hit 250 with six big ones and 21 ribbies. I need to see the six big ones and 21 ribbies for the next 13 games. Could you do it in the two spot?
590 is a text line.
Tell me if I'm crazy, because I don't know. Maybe I'm just... Maybe I'm thinking too highly of this team, and I just know how hard they work. I talk to the coaches a lot. I know how hard the coaches are working. And now it's a little bit of a theme now with the issues your lineup is having against halfway decent pitching. You know, everybody that faces DeGrom and Cole most of the time has issues. But it's the other guys. Garcia really can come out and carve you up for however many. I mean, I know he's a young kid who has life on his heater. But make adjustment.
Tony and the Hammer wants to know if the Jays give Gio Rochelle enough time to show that he can hit and play a great 3B back in 2018. I called him one of the worst Jays I'd seen, and he was.
Well, he was here.
He was awful. He stunk.
I think you surround him with a lineup like they had last year.
Yeah.
I know. You know, a lot of those guys were hurt. You know, the approach is there, and maybe somebody walked up to him and said something to him.
I shouldn't say stunk. His reputation was as a guy who could play pretty good defense.
Really good defender.
The Jays needed more than that at that point in time.
I think he hit a heater now. Look, good hitters hit heaters. They don't guess breaking ball all the time.
Maybe we should take phone calls too.
Can we do that today?
Yeah, really. The boys in the control room seem up for it. All right, I'll throw. What are the numbers again? It's been ages. 416-870-0590. Damn it. Star 590. 1-888-666-05. I was just...
Let's get a question. You know, let's not be calling up all willy-nilly.
Yeah, 416-8... Don't be willy-nilly.
Nope.
You do not want to...
Come on, leader. Give us a question.
Shut up. 416-870-0590. Star 590. 1-888-666-0590. Well, I'm throwing out the numbers
they
again.
They can look on the website.
I'm going to take a break. We're going to come... Shut up. It's Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. All right, since our producer couldn't get us a guest, we're taking calls. No, I'm just kidding. Our producer had Julian Merriweather lined up, which is going to be great.
Yeah.
I was looking forward to it because we're all about Julian Merriweather in the show, but... Julian Merriweather will be the opener tonight in the third game of the Yankee series. So it'd
be a great test for him.
It'll be a great
Yankees
test.
Lineup is hot.
And the guy
He's
who pitches,
kid.
The guy who pitches, and if Julian Merriweather were to come on right now and he was named opener against the Yankees in about 6 hours, I'd be a little concerned.
Huh.
Because most pitchers don't talk. You don't know most pitchers. A lot of pitchers don't talk the day before.
Seven batters here. Go out and let it eat.
Yeah.
He hasn't pitched since the 12th of September. Yeah. So he's got some. There's something in the tank.
So we're going to the phone lines. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. It's just like riding a bicycle. Dave and Bolton, what's up? You're the first person to call into the Fan in about 17 years. How are you?
How you doing, Dave?
I'm great. Thanks, guys.
So make it good. Don't let us down. Don't let us down.
I hope not.
Okay.
So my question is about lineup construction. My thought would be, why wouldn't you have the same lineup every night, or almost the same lineup? Like you said, the top five guys, top every night. Like, wouldn't that just, especially with 60 games overall, 13 games left, wouldn't you just want like one lineup so these guys know, I'm playing here, I'm doing this?
Dave, that is the million-dollar question. And to answer your question, we have no idea. It makes obvious reasons.
Right.
Is it's made up and you have to give guys days off and you know, it's about who you're facing and swing pass. And, it's Danny Jansen hit third once. And
there's
nothing against Danny Jansen,
right.
But he did hit third once.
And
people
that.
Will make, you know, wonder why that is. And it's, you know, somebody has a feeling and you want to put a guy up because his swing plane matches up with the guy, what he throws. Hey, I would do that if I'm the manager. I would run out the same lineup for 20 games in a row and then see how that goes. If it doesn't work for 20 games, and then you start mixing it around. But I know when I was a player, I liked a little normal. I walked in, I didn't have to look. I knew exactly where I was playing. Now, I wasn't an everyday big leaguer by any means. But when I did play, I wanted to know, if I'm hitting fifth, leave me in the five spot for 15 games in a row. And if I don't get it done, then you can move me. Turn your thing on.
Oh, damn.
First time? I'm saying
that was like a Derek Fisher thing to do. Start talking without. We've talked a lot about how in this day and age, the lineup construction isn't just simply a matter of the manager sitting down. There's a lot of input. There's input from the general manager. There's input from the coaching staff. There's input from Commodore 64. Graham threw that out yesterday.
Yeah.
That the lineup was being churned out by Commodore 64. But I mean, here. And here's the thing, it's not just the Blue Jays that do it, and I don't necessarily have a problem with a manager looking at something and saying, well, this guy hits better against this guy, so I'm going to move him up.
Yeah,
if the numbers are tough. My problem is off days. Okay, this is my problem with the way this lineup is constructed. And this is the high performance department. They have a bunch of tests they put these players to. They're expected to reach a certain threshold. If they don't reach that threshold, they're red flagged, and that means they don't play. And that's, you're spending millions of dollars in your high performance department. You're all in. Once you're in with this, it's not the type of thing where you say, you know what? Wednesday I'm going to listen to these guys. Thursday, I'm not going to listen to him. Friday, I might listen to him. If you buy into this, you're all in.
Okay, what about this? What if it's not working the way they're doing it now, and all of a sudden they go, let's put the five best we got, run it out there for the next 13 games, and it works. Now what? Do you go back to what the computer says, or do you keep doing it this way? That's the question is, who's going to raise their hand and say, this guy's not shouldn't be hitting here. Why don't we put our best five? Whoever that is, you can sit down and figure it out between three or four people, however you want to do it. But those five guys, because nobody has eight legit hitters in a lineup. It's normally the first five, somewhere in that range. And then you figure out the other four.
Hmm.
Well, why don't you do the first five? No? Hmm. Makes too much sense.
Gail in Nova Scotia.
Hello, how are
Hi.
You?
We're doing
good.
Well.
How are
things in Nova Scotia? I got to remember how to do this. I know I got to be polite to people, so.
Just a beautiful fall day.
Awesome. Beautiful. Great.
And I just wanted to follow up with your comments on the lineup. I definitely don't want to see Shaw in the three spot. I've got Biggio leading off, Bo. Gurriel should be the number three hitter, in my opinion, the way he's hitting the ball. Then I've got Teo, Vladdy, Gritch in the sixth spot. Panic on third base, Villard DHing and Jansen catching.
Sounds like a winner to me.
I'm fine with that.
Before I die, I'd love to see you manage somewhere, Kevin. I've got about 20 years, I'd say.
Oh, yeah, we'll see. Maybe I can call somebody that I know and they could give me a chance in doing that. That's a tremendous lineup.
It's a great lineup.
Yeah, it is.
It's the best lineup.
The issue is, could you do it consistently? Say they do that lineup, what Gail mentioned.
Yeah.
Hits it, and then it doesn't work. Would they do it the next day?
Depends what the computer says. It depends on the swing pattern.
You know, I don't know if it's a gut thing or it's more of, this is my best guys. I'm going to roll them out there and see how it works.
Dan in Georgetown. This is actually pretty funny. I'm going to ask you to give me the name of the caller again in a minute, but Dan in Georgetown says, "Hi." This is his dream conversation. Hey, Scherzer, you're only pitching four innings today.
Yeah.
That wouldn't work.
Yeah.
Phil in Wasaga. Go ahead, Phil.
Hi, guys. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
No problem.
Quick question. You can keep one of our catchers for next year. Which one do you keep and why?
Well, Danny Jansen they're in love with behind the plate defensively, the way he works, the way he listens, the way he communicates with the rotation. The way he can get young guys through a game. Offensively, he's got to do more. Like, offensively, for me, if I'm running this team, he has solidified his spot as the backup catcher. I know offseason starts. I got to go get my guy to play four days a week.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah.
I'll flip the question around. Of all the catchers in here right now, who would you like to see in the major league roster next year? I'd like to see Danny Jansen in the major league roster. I'd like to see them try to upgrade at that position. I don't pretend to know what's available, but my one caveat with Danny Jansen is I thought he did okay last year, considering everything that was thrown at him. I don't think we know how much stuff has been thrown at him this year.
Ryu.
I mean that positively. I'm not saying that they're bad people. I'm just saying I think Danny Jansen has had a whole hell of a lot in his plate this year. So I'm really reluctant. I am really reluctant to jump ship on Danny Jansen. But if you're going out in the offseason, and you know what? Maybe it's just a matter of bringing a Kurt Suzuki. I'm just picking a name out of my hat. Bringing a guy in for a year or 2 years on a short-term basis and let Danny be the backup and gradually work his way back in. But I'm not ready to give up on Danny Jansen yet. I'm just not. I don't think
giving up on him if you play him 3 days a week. I don't think you are. I think you'd be helping him.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not fair to him offensively to have to face top-end pitching right now. You look at the way he attacks pitchers. He doesn't really.
Yeah.
Like we love him as a human being, and he has worked his tail off. You ask enough people, they'll tell you all the same thing, that he works harder than everybody else, and he knows more about what to put down and what not to put down, except Ryu, because that's a different animal. You know, he's thinking it ahead,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, the next time he's going to face that guy. And it's very hard to think along with a guy that has five, is it four, all of these things
like
that go on.
Trying to think along with a guy who's got a PhD.
It's almost impossible, right? And does Ryu trust Jansen enough to go, I think, one, you put three down. You're the catcher. Am I going to go with you? That's the thing.
Mm.
Would a veteran guy, if he puts one down, I'm thinking three, would he throw one? That's the question you got to ask yourself.
Andrew and Maple.
Andrew.
Hi. How you doing?
Good, thanks.
Good.
I just, again, wanted to talk about Charlie like everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, I know he doesn't make all the lineup decisions, but, you know, I'm sure he has a big hand in it.
Yeah.
And there's also been a lot of in-game plays that have, you know, very questionable bunts. I want to pull my eyes out. So I'm just wondering, do you see him as a placeholder manager, and like when this team becomes contender status, how long do we keep putting up with all these like, you know, weird decisions by the manager when it's winning time?
Thanks. I mean, in terms of the lineup, you're as long as this management team's in place, it doesn't manage. I mean, Jesus could manage this team and they'd be using the computer
to
help set the lineup.
During the game, look, take Tanner Roark. I'm assuming that's what Andrew's talking about.
Yeah.
And when you take your starting pitches haven't been good. There's been one guy's been good,
but that
everybody
also,
else, you're flipping coins out there when you take them out and
that
when,
was also,
who you bring in and.
But that was also a decision. That's organizational philosophy right now in this year. is we're not going to let our guys go three, you know, face the lineup three times. That's not all on Charlie. And again, Charlie was a coach in the Tampa Bay Rays system. So this is not, the stuff that we're seeing is not unusual to him. You know, it's not unusual. I think Charlie knew exactly what he was signing on to when he came here. Now, is he the manager that can take this team where it needs to go? Let me ask you this. In 2014, did you think John Gibbons was a manager to take the Blue Jays to the playoffs? Now, be honest. Because I sure as hell didn't, and I like John Gibbons more than any of you. Trust me.
You're only as good as your players.
So I'm going to throw that out there. Is Charlie the type of guy that can get them through the playoffs? I feel the same thing about him right now as I did about John Gibbons in 2014. I don't know. I think so, but I don't know. And that's until we see proof.
Yeah, the Charlie thing. Look, you're judged on how you handle the pitching staff and your bullpen. I don't know how he's done a bad job with that. Look, you got so many things to choose
from.
And there's so many things that we don't know how guys feel and how, when you're supposed to bring a guy in.
And we're not
and
around.
Your rotation
we're,
has and the just thing is, been, let's be honest, hasn't been good.
There's not enough media around the team to know really what the hell's going on. I mean, there just isn't. It's a simple fact of the matter. We have no way of
and the Ken Giles injury has really, really hurt this team. Really has.
I'll say this. Also further to Andrew's question about Charlie Montoyo. The best part of this team has been the bullpen. It's a bullpen made up of guys who weren't here last year for the most part, or guys who were here but weren't relieving. So I think Charlie Montoyo, along with Pete Walker and Matt Bushman, but and John Schneider and the coaching staff, but ultimately the call is on Charlie. If you're telling me the bullpen is the best part of this team, that's the part of the game that reflects the most on the manager.
Yeah, and a lot of the base running, I think that's a lot of fans blame that on Charlie. That's all on the player. That has nothing to do with Charlie.
It's entirely possible they have a lot of players who just aren't that smart.
There you go. That's
they're
really
great,
well
but
said.
They're not smart.
Baseball IQ hasn't caught up yet.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I think. But, you can't do... And one of the things that drives me nuts is people talk about, well, do more drills. You can't replicate what you are going to see in a game in a drill. You're not.
Yeah, and
I guarantee you there was no don't go to third base in a dumb situation drill.
Yeah, and Andrew's talking about the bunting. Who's the people that bunted? Two catches that aren't hitting their weight.
Bingo.
And Espinal.
Yeah. Tony in Hamilton.
Tony.
The Hammer.
Yes.
Go ahead, Tony.
Jeff and Barks, thanks for opening up the lines.
Yeah.
This is awesome.
Of course.
And a rarity.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
We just do it all the time.
It's 2020.
Yeah, it's 2020.
Well, you only got 1 hour, and I know it's hard to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Jeff, I heard your rant yesterday, and I don't blame you one bit about Derek Fisher, and forgive me, I don't want to raise your blood pressure again, but I'm looking at this from last year when he dropped that ball on the side. It hit his face. He got cut, if you remember that play, and then... Yeah. He lost another ball in the trop, that ceiling that's an off-white color. He misplayed a ball there, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering, in all this time, his confidence is gone, and maybe the Blue Jays haven't helped him enough to regain his confidence. He's like a lost soul, and we've seen the meltdown the other night. And like you've said, Barks,
yeah,
players are human beings.
Yeah.
I wonder if the guy's going through incredible hell right now that nobody's talking about. I feel for the guy personally.
Tony, I appreciate it.
But a human being.
Tony, that's...
But you know what he is? He's also a human being that's asked to basically catch a freaking fly ball to right field.
Yeah.
And he didn't really have to... We're not talking... It's not like this guy had to run 100 yards to get to the damn thing.
Yeah, well, maybe he's not a real good outfielder. Maybe that's just the gist of it, and maybe his one strength is ball off bat.
Well,
when the ball hits the bat, it comes off hard.
Yeah.
Maybe that's his one strength. You know, defense and running the base.
He's better off taking his bat to the outfield instead of his glove.
It's very hard to come on any of these shows and yell and scream about the 29th guy. It really is.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's not true because I did that yesterday.
I know that.
But, no, look, you never blame the last guy.
He's not even the last guy. Okay. He's the next guy.
Okay. You never blame the last guy. I agree. But you do when they can't catch the ball. Yes, you do. I'm sorry. Yeah.
It was warranted. You're right.
Come on. I mean, seriously. He's asked to catch. And then there are people on Twitter saying, "Oh, well, we need to give him a second." No second chance. He's supposed to catch the ball. It's the least I expect. It's the least I expect from him.
So you're saying it'll be tough. It would be hard for you to see him in a Blue Jays uniform again.
I guarantee you, he's going to play in the playoffs. He'll be off. He's coming off the DL. He'll be in the playoff game. I'll tell you right now. Mm. Derek Fisher will be starting in right field in Game 3 of the series against the Minnesota Twins.
Rich Hill might be starting that game. He's lefty.
416. You and your logic.
I'm just
saying. You and your facts. I spit on your facts. 416-870-0590. 1-888-666.
Keep them coming.
0590. *590. Keep them coming. Why not? It's Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. All right, our research department, Lance Kennedy, has come through in answer to a text question about Randall Grichuk's number since his last off day, since the high performance department decided that he needed a day off. 6-for-29, which is .207. One ribby, 7 strikeouts, a couple of walks, 1 stolen base. Now, he has faced some pretty
Lugo,
damn good pitching.
DeGrom,
yeah,
Cole.
Well, Lugo.
I mean, 97 on the black from Lugo is pretty good. He's been a legit big leaguer since he's been playing the last 5 years.
You can roll your eyes at that, but he's not.
Right-handed who throws really hard and can locate.
If you're going to the playoffs, you should be able to handle Seth Lugo. Let's be honest. I mean, Seth Lugo's okay, but don't make it sound like Seth Lugo's a guy that should be carving guys up.
Oh. Okay.
416-870-0590. *590. 1-888-666-0590. You know, I liked you much better before you went on Instagram. Now you're all feisty and snarky.
Well, yeah, I mean, you basically came on this show and said, "We got nothing to say. I got all kinds of stuff."
I mean, he wants to know, is Fisher's knee injury legit, or is this a Jay's way of pulling Fisher?
We have no idea.
I have not seen it.
We were not watching.
We have no idea.
We just know he ain't going to play because he's on the IL.
But it's possible that he was Gilhooly'd.
What's that?
Jeff Gilhooly, the guy that hit. I already told you, Nancy Kerrigan.
Yeah. I got you. On purpose.
Mal in Toronto, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. You're on Baseball Central. What is up?
Hey. B&B. Lance, thanks B&B? For taking my call to these guys. Listen, I've been listening to
you. What are you shouting out Lance for?
Because he took my call.
He's the man.
Well, that's his job is to take your call.
But, Jeff, the screeners never get a little bit of thanks. And I always thank them when I call you.
Very nice.
Okay, that's very nice.
Yeah,
that's
be
very
nice, Jeff.
So, I am nice.
Hello, B&B, and I want to
going?
Make sure that both you guys and your families are staying
that's
safe.
That's very nice.
Thank you very much. We are
your family,
safe.
Too.
As family that has me as a husband and father can be.
Hear, hear.
They're very lucky to have you as a husband and
that's
father.
That's what I keep telling them.
Jeff, you know, and maybe you don't know, but I saw my first ball game in 1952. Mickey Mantle and the Yankees against the Detroit Tigers, Mantle's rookie year. So I've seen a few ball games since then.
Yeah. Okay.
But I do want to comment on Derek Fisher. The guy to me was a throw-in to make the Aaron Sanchez deal look a little bit good. He didn't accomplish anything. And to keep this guy in the lineup and hold back perhaps other guys that could be a little bit better, and I believe this is a Gilhooly. I think he has to go. And one of you, and I forget, I think Jeff may have said he'll probably play if they make the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
He cannot play.
He'll be
My
starting.
Mother could play better. And she's about 180 now. Except she's passed away, may we bless her soul.
Yes.
The bottom line is the guy should not be playing. He should have been DFA'd immediately. They DFA'd other guys, And I just can't believe it. And I hate to be nasty to a guy, but they're making big money, and this guy should not be playing for the Blue Jays.
Appreciate the call. I can't.
I got nothing to add to that.
No. But he will be starting in the playoffs. Now, admit
that'd
it.
That'd be a tough sale.
Admit it. You can't look me in the eye right now and say with 100, given what we've seen this year with this lineup, you can't look him in the eye and say with 100% certainty that I'm just blowing smoke, can you?
For the playoffs, I can say, look right between your eyes.
Yeah.
Like and say right that here? He will not play in the playoffs. All Who right. cares what we think? It's about the guys that are playing, and that would be a tough sale.
You have way more faith than I do. Bob in Bowmanville, you're on Baseball Central.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, guys, how are you?
We are doing well, thank you.
Good, good. Jeff, I'm with you. Catch the freaking ball.
Yeah,
I mean, seriously.
Yeah,
you know what was almost worse was that third one where he pulled up.
Well, right? I did not even thank you. I did not even touch on the third one. You mean the one that – yeah. Now you're going to make me mad again. I didn't even touch about that.
The little blooper, kind of a blooper, and then he pulled up on it. He giddy ups a little bit there. Well, he gets a glove on it. Does he catch it? Well, that's another story. But, you know, that was almost worse than the other two deep against the fence there or whatever. So, anyhow. Look, I'm a big Yankee fan, so this has been kind of fun the last couple of days for me. But here's my frustration with the team. I mean, they were horrible for, 15 to 20 games there recently. Yeah, they won about 7-8 in a row, I guess it is. My frustration is Aaron Judge, and I'm just going to get you guys to guess here, if anything. Is he just a guy who's just going to be injury prone going forward? Like, you know, his last stint, he came back after a stint on the IL and went back on the IL that night after one game. And now here he is back, and we'll see what happens. But, I mean, just kind of your thoughts on him, I guess.
Yeah, you know, I think he might be. The one thing that happened in New York this offseason is they basically blew up their version of the high-performance department. Brian Cashman talked about this. They just cleaned house. And it was a couple of weeks ago. And he talked about how, in retrospect, he thinks that perhaps moving as quickly as he did with the high performance department wasn't necessarily a good thing. In other words, that the combination of new voices plus the break caused by the pandemic may have created a situation where his players were more susceptible to injury. There may be something to that. I don't know. I do know this. Brian Cashman's a pretty smart dude. And Brian Cashman does not make excuses. He will admit when he's screwed up. He's done it in the – he'll admit when he's screwed up. So I'm going to throw that out there. Giancarlo Stanton worries me more than Aaron Judge, to be honest. Just because, Aaron Judge's short-term track record isn't good, but I want to see another year from Aaron Judge. You know, if we're having this discussion next year and he's missed 80 games because of injuries, then I think we can go there. Stanton, I don't know about. I just think Stanton's a guy who is always going to be hurt.
Yeah, size, defensively, running the bases, that's going to hurt him. Diving's hard on your body. Your body can't take it because of his size.
Because
of where you have to pitch him, which is in. He's going to get hit more. So the answer to his question is yes, he will be hurt more times than not.
And I don't know if this makes sense. He plays a harder game than Judge.
Stanton does.
Judge, if you watch Judge and Stanton, there's a lot of effort with what Stanton does. There's a lot of effort with what he does compared to what Judge does. And, you know, I mean, this is a guy that was hit in the face by a pitch. Now, it's not his fault, but the fact is he was, guys were throwing inside at him. I just think there are guys who are just going to be hurt all the time because of the way they go about doing the stuff they have to do.
Think about how much money Judge is losing because of his injuries.
Oh, he's
he was a healthy player because of how good he is and talented he is and the ballpark he plays in.
Mm-hmm.
How much money he'd make. Holy moly.
Hey, Jeff and Kevin, Doug from Oakville. Can you find out if Shoemaker collected the money pinned on the board for eliminating a threat to the team? Why do I even read that? Is it Brian in Hamilton? Ryan, close enough.
Ryan,
what's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, thanks.
Doing well.
Nice, nice. My question is, What do you guys think Shapiro and Atkins' biggest trade deadline accusation was? I'm a big Taiwan Walker guy. I think that was a bold move, and for cast considerations, it's a pretty good move on my end, at least. I think I like the fire, I like the tenacity that he brings to his game, and seems to have pretty good control. Now, I'm not trying to get you fired up there, Jeff, but that Fisher play totally blew that whole game wide open, and kind of what I think made him lose his rhythm and kind of hard to get back after that sloppy inning.
No, absolutely. You gave a great team about 30 more pitches. And, you know, there's a great team on a winning streak that was getting its hitters back 30 more pitches. Look, I'm going to defer this question just because I want to see one more Robbie Ray start, because I got a good feeling about what we've seen from Robbie Ray. But I want to see one more outing from him. I think I've written this and I've said this. I think they may have just hit something with Robbie Ray. There's a lot of similarities between the way Pete Walker got through to Ken Giles and the way Robbie Ray is talking about Pete Walker. I understand Giles and Ray are vastly different pitchers. I get all that. But every now and then you hear the right voice in your head at the right time. I can see Robbie Ray being the number two starter in
the
playoffs.
Who could stuff their way through a good lineup?
Robbie Ray.
There you go. Taiwan Walker to me looks like something's wrong with him. He threw a lot of breaking balls, a lot of secondary pitches. His best pitches are four-seam cutter. He wasn't throwing that. Why? And it wasn't 94-95. Why is that? Before that, he's grimacing and rubbing the shoulder and that kind of thing. Listen, it could be because he's thrown a lot of pitches and, you know, he's trying hard, which he looks like a teammate guy. Like he wants to, yeah. I'm here for my team and I'm going to do whatever it takes, which that's awesome. But is it, you know, it's... I'm with you. The next start from each, I think, will tell you a lot.
Yeah. In terms of, I guess if you wanted to sort of expand it a little farther, I think it's pretty clear that the Blue Jays in the offseason are going to have to add at least one more starting pitcher. I don't think you can count on Nate Pearson out of the gate next year, operating under the assumption that next year is a normal season. But I don't think you can start with Nate Pearson in the majors next year. To me, he's got to start at AAA. And if it takes half a year to get him up here, it takes half a year. I think we've seen that he was, frankly, rushed up here. We can say that now. So if that's the case, you're going to need somebody else besides Ryu, a healthy Anthony Kay, Tanner Roark you've got for another year. You're going to have to have another couple of guys. And I'm a big believer, if you get a guy in and he likes it, it's the same thing with Ken Giles. He likes where he is. He likes the team. He enjoys working with the pitching coach. Then maybe I bring him back next year. Like I put it this way. I will say Walker, Ray, and Stripling. If I'm the Jays, I bring two of those guys back next year.
I like Hatch. I'd go out and get a bat. That's me. I think American League East, you got to thump people. Like the Yankees, can overcome things because of how they demolish pitching. And bad pitching, they hammer. Like it's not, you know, you're beating them 8-6. No, they beat teams 13-2 with bad pitching that they face. Yeah. That's what the Blue Jays have to start doing. Can they do that to make up for bad starting pitching? That's what I'd do.
Last call. Two words in the English language I hate. Last call. It's sadness. It's so many sad moments in my life have occurred when last calls. Andrew and where? Oakville? Go ahead, Andrew.
Andrew.
What's going on, guys? How are you?
Good. Doing well.
I just want to piggyback, actually. You said something about Robbie Ray a couple callers ago, and I agree 100%. I think a really good comparison would be, I don't know, was it 2016 with Francisco Liriano? You know, came over with all those problems from Pittsburgh. And, I mean, for the most part, I think he was pretty good that season.
Yeah, I think Robbie Ray's better than...
I would agree, and his stuff is wipeout. I think the last time I saw his K per nine innings was like 12.
Yeah, he's always been able to do that.
Yeah, there's something there. And then, lastly, I mean, the reason I called in, I just don't understand... I mean, three times in the last week, they've gotten completely run off the field.
Yeah.
And I think, back in the heyday, 2015, 2016, if that happens, like, the guys like Donaldson, Bautista, I mean, they're not going to let it happen again. I think someone's got to step up and put their foot down and say enough. Giving up 35 runs in two games, I get that's kind of on the pitching staff, but at some point, someone's got to step up, you know?
Yeah, I don't know how much. It's such a different year, right? Like, I think we really underestimate just how weird, and thank you for the call, Andrew. I think we really underestimate just how weird this year has been. And who's going to step up in this team?
Yeah.
You know, like I keep going back to, it was Danny Jansen. A Zoom call with Danny Jansen during summer camp. And they were talking about, the issue was about things Travis Shaw had said about, you know, not wanting to quarantine and blah, 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 and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Danny Jansen that said, you know, there are guys in the clubhouse had said some stuff. There were guys, and he was asked, well, who are the leaders in this team? His first answer, well, Bo always speaks up, and Cavan. And I think you look at this team, I don't know yet if there is a guy, like, who's the veteran guy in this team that's going to step up? Caleb Joseph is an important part of clubhouse life. We know that. But it's awfully hard for a guy who wasn't playing to read the riot act to guys. Like, you don't have a lot of guys who've been here for a long time who would be in a position to do that. Like, I guess the ranking veteran in terms of position players would probably be Randall Grichuk.
Yeah, the only way you get to into people is you don't play them anymore. The take away playing time. Don't pitch them, skip them a start. You know, the yelling and screaming and throwing, that doesn't work. You know, if, again, I've said this to you before, Jeff, I can't hit a breaking ball, you yelling at me about hitting it ain't going to change the fact I can't hit it.
Yeah.
So it's baseball is a different sport than all the other ones. It's about you as an individual doing what you can control. If you're a pitcher, throwing strike one is always the most important thing. Don't throw the ball down the middle. We just mentioned that. Hitters, that's a whole different thing, too. There really isn't
anybody in this team having such a good year that they could stand up and do that. Let's be honest. There's nobody in this team who's having just such a lights out year that they could stand up and do it.
Yep.
Pitchers can't complain about the defense if they're not pitching. Position players can't complain about the pitching if they're running into outs every game. Mr. Barker, that was fun. Thank you to the callers as well. We'll be back tomorrow. Oh, we'll be like a pre-game show tomorrow, won't we? Yeah. Got doubleheader baseball tomorrow. Writer's Block is next.